President Joe Biden's first year in office ended last week with what political watchers say are a mix of successes and failures. The Biden administration made vaccinations against COVID-19 available to all Americans, but some have hesitated or refused to get vaccinated. And with the Omicron variant surging, Americans are struggling with access to testing and hospitals are overwhelmed again. On the economy, the unemployment rate has gone down from pandemic highs and wages have risen for lower paid workers. But employers are struggling to find people to fill open jobs, and rising prices are eating into workers' paychecks. We're taking a closer look at Biden's first year in office, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the job President Biden has done so far? Big picture or on particular issues, including his handling of the pandemic or the U.S. economy? What do you want to see him focus on for the rest of his first term? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Alisa Von Hagel is professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. Alisa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here this afternoon.
Let's start digging into some of the issues. The last year of the Trump administration, the first year of the Biden administration, the big story, of course, the pandemic. How do you start to unpack all the things that have been going on over this last year?
Well, I think when thinking about Biden's first year, I mean, it's, you know, every president's first year is, you know, unique in different ways. But this truly has been a incredibly unique time in our nation's history, as well as Biden's administration. And there's been a transformation writ large for this new administration with respect to how issues are addressed, the tenor, you know, that has taken the people who are in the White House. And so there's really been just a significant transition, and we've seen a significant change in the approach to COVID, the pandemic specifically, as well as COVID relief.
In late December, President Biden made a speech about the spread of Omicron. Now, back in July, around July 4th, he kind of declared independence from COVID. Then along came Delta, then Omicron. Here's a listen to the president late last year.
So are we going back to March 2020? Not just last March 2021, but March 2020, when the pandemic first hit. That's what I keep getting asked. The answer is absolutely no, no.
Referring in part to shutdowns, school closings, I think that sort of thing. Did President Biden over-promise back in the summer, saying we're kind of past this thing? Has that caused problems for him now?
I believe so. I mean, COVID is obviously still with us, and it seems like it will be with us for quite some time now. That we still have, you know, great uncertainty with respect to that. Of course, there has been, as you mentioned, significant success in the number of Americans vaccinated. And so we are in a different place than we are in March 2020, but yet we still seem to be having a significant proportion of the nation's eligible participants not getting vaccinated, which has led to, rates of hospitalizations and cases in general to increase, I think, to the highest rates that they've ever been.
Logistics-wise, the vaccination rollout happened, went pretty well for the most part. Testing now, there's been criticism of the federal government, the Biden administration, that, hey, we've got this surge again. We've had all this time to prepare, and we don't seem to have the tests that people are hoping to find. How much of that rests on the Biden administration?
There's such a huge, the pandemic relief is involving many agencies, many departments, and so it's not solely the problem of the Biden administration. However, he is, as the nation's president, you know, going to be taking the heat from it. And with respect to the testing shortages, and specifically, I think that there's been such a focus and such a push for vaccinations that testing seemed to have sort of been left out, essentially. And so we see that with the rising Omicron variant and just how it's spreading so voraciously throughout the country that, the lack of testing is truly concerning for people going back to work, kids going to school, you know, people ensuring that they can, you know, meet with, you know, family members, grandparents, and that sort of thing.
Talking to Lisa von Hagel, professor of political science at UW-Superior. Looking back at the first year of the Biden administration, you could join in with your thoughts, big picture or on particular issues. How did the Biden administration do in its first year? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. John is with us in Elkhorn. John, hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What do you want to bring up, John?
Well, let's start with the thing that really was interesting about the last election. I believe almost 170 million people voted. I mean, that's a story that in itself is quite significant. But for me, Joe Biden kept his promise the moment that he was sworn in. I know that a lot of people are going to try to bring up the promises made and all this other stuff. The reality is, for me, that Joe Biden was not Donald Trump. Joe Biden was not somebody that was going to go around and say things like the election was stolen and convince other Republicans somehow to join in this. I think the story is that he's not Donald Trump. And I think for a lot of people, if they really examine their conscience, if they said, okay, this is how the country is right now, but would I still want Donald Trump to be in there? The answer would be no. A lot of people voted not for a promise, but to get rid of Donald Trump.
John, thanks for the call. Alisa, much was made of the contrast between Biden and Trump, and just in terms of their temperaments, their keel, I guess, if you will, the stability that they bring, and that's what John is focusing on here.
Absolutely, and I would agree with the caller in that for millions of Americans, it's just more stable. It's quieter. There's not these, scandals every single day on the nightly news about, large, global issues, but also just domestic things or, all of these mix-ups and problems in the administration more generally. So, I mean, there just isn't just a different tenor. There's, again, different people. There's mainstream public servants in these executive administrations that have been there before. And so it's more even keeled, the administration as a whole, as well as President Biden. And for absolutely, I think many, many Americans were just wanting to go to a place of, quiet or stability after the 4 years of the Trump administration.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Presidents are, of course, often evaluated on the economic performance of the country. Sometimes people say they get too much credit when things go well, too much blame when things go badly. When I talk to economists, Alisa, there's a lot of, on the one hand, on the other hand, going on with the U.S. economy. What do you look at when evaluating the economy under the Biden administration so far?
Well, I guess you stole my thunder there.
Sorry.
So,
yeah.
So on the one hand, there's been great achievements in reducing the unemployment rate. And workers have greater wages have raised. They have a greater recourse to get better benefits. So in that respect, workers are, have more rights essentially or are getting a better deal. But then again, on the other hand, we have been dealing with the highest inflation rate that we have had in the past 40 years of our nation's history, which absolutely affects people, at the end of the day with respect to whether it's food prices, gas, anything whatsoever. It's definitely going to impact the everyday consumer. And it is now, and actually inflation is now been ranked as the number one issue for Americans. The first time COVID has not been number one since the pandemic hit.
Bring on another caller now. Mike is with us in New London. Mike, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having this show. Love you guys. First of all, my main tenet is Biden is doing a great job. He has done a great job on the economy, on COVID, on foreign affairs, as far as I'm concerned. The things that are hurting him, the spin, you can take the same facts and then throw in misinformation from the hate right-wing talk shows and such. They show the downside of everything. Couple that with obstructionism by the GOP, obviously, everybody, coupled with two in his own party. So I think he's doing a great job.
Mike, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. There are concerns about misinformation and spin, Elisa, but as we were just saying, there are some real downsides over the last year, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess I do agree with the call. And I think when, you know, thinking of the kind of the quote unquote failures of the previous year of the Biden administration, I think, you know, number one, whether it's events controlled by him or that he cannot control, is simply the, you know, polarization in this nation, whether it's in the general public and the, you know, the false information that is coming up on certain websites, on the internet, or whether it's polarization in Congress. And so, I mean, I think that, you know, again, is largely out of the control of the presidency, but it is certainly has, you know, led to some of these, you know, failures of the administration. Again, whether or not that's necessarily deserved is another, you know, debate altogether. But certainly, you know, whether it's the mixed information on, you know, the vaccine, COVID in general, or other political issues more generally, I mean, it's something that we're, you know, still attempting to deal with, and hopefully will, you know, someday we will be able to, you know, tamp down on the worst effects of that.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Elisa Van Hagel, professor of political science at UW-Superior, with us today to talk about President Biden's first year in office. And we want to hear your thoughts on that topic at 800-642-1234. What are the high points, the low points, maybe one of each that you saw over the president's first year in office? Do you think the country has changed for better, worse, or not at all? How about your own personal economy and well-being? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our review of President Biden's first year in office. Elisa Van Hagel stays with us from UW-Superior. Here's candidate Joe Biden speaking during the presidential campaign in September of 2020.
You know, as a nation, we face one of the most difficult moments in our history, in my view. Four historic crises all at the same time. The worst pandemic in 100 years. That's already killed nearly 200,000 people and counting. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression has cost tens of millions of American jobs and counting. Emboldened white supremacy unseen since the 60s and a reckoning on race that's long overdue. And undeniable acceleration of the punishing reality of climate change on our planet and our people, on the lives and livelihoods, which I'd like to talk about now.
How do you think the president has done on those or other issues? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Brett is with us in Reedsburg. Brett, hi.
Hey, I just wanted to call and bring up a kind of a point of contrast mm-hmm. for all of Trump's failings, which there were very many. One thing that he did was present a front of strength to the world that I think we're witnessing right now with Russia and their aggression towards Ukraine and how they are trying to take advantage of us. And I don't think that happened under Trump. And I don't think that that's given nearly enough credit. I was wondering if your guest could speak to that.
Brett, thanks a lot for the call. Elise, he takes it to foreign policy. What do you think of what Brett had to say?
I mean, with respect to foreign policy, I think when we think of the Biden administration more generally, people, scholars, pundits seem to point to a return to normalcy, to mending frayed relations with global alliances. We've rejoined the Paris Climate Treaty, have reinforced, you know, NATO and our commitments to it, rejoined the WHO. And so I think in many respects, there's been a much greater commitment to these international organizations that countries around the world have responded to positively. Certainly there is, you know, whether or not, you know, this type of aggression against Ukraine would have not occurred under the Trump administration is, you know, we simply can never know. But certainly we know that the Biden administration is currently still today working, negotiating with Russian foreign ministers in trying to prevent, you know, an escalation into war in that region of the world.
Thanks for the call, Brett. Another foreign policy concern, Elisa, was the withdrawal from Afghanistan. The withdrawal policy had pretty strong support in polls anyway, and from former President Trump. The handling of it got a lot of criticism and is seen as one of a couple things in turning points on polling and approval ratings for the president.
Absolutely. So from the beginning of his administration up through August, he had approval over a majority of Americans approved of Joe Biden's job in the White House thus far. And then we had the Afghanistan withdrawal, which was always going to be difficult, was always going to be messy, I suppose. We've been in nation for 22 years. And so despite, you know, a number of presidents speaking of, you know, getting the U.S. out of Afghanistan, it finally did occur under the Biden administration, which, you know, people on the right and the left weren't supportive. However, as you mentioned, the actual, you know, withdrawal itself was, you know, was a basically a strategic and intelligence failure in many respects. There's, you know, and then with the Taliban resurgence and the, you know, basic humanitarian disaster that's occurring at this, you know, at this point in the game, it has been a turning point with respect to, you know, how the nation views Joe Biden as president, but also with respect to this particular crisis as well.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Sharon in Door County. Sharon, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My comment has to do with what President Biden has done in regards to addressing poverty in our country, and in particular, children in poverty. I think it has been far too many years since we have had any politicians in Washington acknowledging that we have far too many children living in poverty. And I think President Biden has not only made an extreme effort to help their children, but also families who are living in poverty, and families who are, quite frankly, middle-class families, with the child tax credits that he has introduced. So I think in that respect, I am very proud to see a president looking out for all of our citizens and not just.
I gotcha, Sharon. Thanks for calling in. A lot of the policies she talked about came in that first COVID relief package from early last year, Elisa.
Yes, absolutely. As your caller mentioned, there's the president has, you know, in his speeches or in his tone, has greatly emphasized his, you know, concern for, you know, those impoverished, those who are, you know, as she said, even middle class, but families that are struggling in this country today. I mean, we're all struggling in different ways because of different reasons, but there is, you know, much more of an emphasis on, you know, providing for, in different ways, for these different particular struggles. And as she mentioned, the child care tax credit was expanded. The COVID tax, the stimulus package also included funding for schools, as well as for vaccine distribution, for unemployment, you know, continued unemployment insurance benefits. And so that first COVID relief package really did, you know, reach number of different issue areas and didn't just focus specifically on, say, vaccine distribution, but was about, you know, dealing with the everyday struggles of families in the country today.
Thanks for the call. Dan joins us next in Franksville. Dan, hello.
Yeah, I'm not too happy with Biden, but I don't think he has much control over anything. The Federal Reserve basically runs the economy. You know, not Joe Biden, but the Federal Reserve is not a part of the government, so they just have their own people there, and they can raise rates or lower them, and that has everything to do with the economy. I don't like, I mean, all these thoughts are nice where people say Joe Biden is spending money on this and that. That's all on a credit card. The $670-some billion they just spent on the military, that's all on a credit card. That means the adults that are saying that, they're saying the hell with our children.
Gotcha, Dan. Gave us a lot to work with there. First of all, the Federal Reserve, obviously influential on the economy. The president does appoint, though, the people who run the reserve, but it's kind of a hands-off situation in some other ways.
Absolutely. And I think I agree with your caller in that, you know, with respect to, you know, thinking of the successes or failures of a presidency, you know, oftentimes the things that we attribute to a presidential administration are simply completely, utterly out of the control or you know, the effect of the president. But again, he is that figurehead that we, you know, I guess assign blame or, you know, attribute to these successes. And so when it's, when it comes to the economy, I believe you mentioned this previously that, you know, we, when there is, you know, failure of the economy, that we put, we in place undue effort or emphasis on the role of the president in this. And so again, largely the failures or the problems with the economy today are fairly outside the control of the president himself. Certainly there are different ways in which he could, you know, attempt to work to, you know, change things here and there. But again, he's only be able to work with the, you know, in the ways that the Constitution basically allows him to, which doesn't give him a lot of leeway specifically with respect to the economy.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Just a few moments left, Elisa. What are you watching for in 2022 as we continue to evaluate the current administration?
Well, I'm already turning my eyes to the next election. I think it'll be interesting to see how the, you know, all of these different issues that have been raised today will affect both turnout as well as, you know, the way people vote for the upcoming midterm elections. We know that in virtually almost every midterm election, the president's party loses seats or loses the one or both chambers of the legislature. And so, you know, whether to the extent that there is, you know, this unpopular or this declining popularity with the president is attributed to Congress and thus leads to a turnover is unknown, of course, but certainly there's just early speculation already right now. And that's, I think, thinking about how all of these things will shape how people vote in the upcoming midterm elections.
Elisa, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Elisa von Hagel, professor of political science at UW-Superior, with us today to look back at President Biden's first year in office.